The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Before McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, CFAL, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Fincastle Media Group, J.S. Johnson, Marcos Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right. It's a short week, but it's probably going to be a busy week. I'm trying my best to be here each and every day, although I did have something scheduled for Thursday, but I do have guests on Thursday, so I'm trying to accommodate them. They're from the U.S. Embassy on Thursday. We'll be talking about some things. We also are going to be talking with some labor folk, as well as former labor minister Shane Gibson is supposed to be here tomorrow, and we'll talk with him. I have today with me the esteemed leader of the Free National Movement, Mr. Michael Pintard, who's here to talk about budget issues as well as the FNM. So we got two things going on at the same time, which is life. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We have the budget that has just been put out, which is very interesting and actually requires quite a bit of study because there's some intricacy not only to do with the budget, but to do with some stuff they tabled. That's going to push through the thrust of the budget if the government has its way. Also, we've got the continuing, what I would call, retooling of the messaging, the public face of the FNM, which requires probably some internal fixing more so than a public sentiment at this time, but we can't help but talk about what's out there in the public. The Free National Movement just left office about 8 months ago, and it is the strongest party in the country in terms of opposition parties. And judging on the past several decades, could very likely be in power after the next election comes. And so we want to very carefully monitor what the Free National Movement is saying and what is going on within the Free National Movement. So, Michael Pintard, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Revolution.
Thank you very much, Juan. I'm looking forward to a candid discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to join us for the first hour, and then you got some major stuff to do. You don't have time to fool with me. we're going to squeeze out all that we can. I hold no illusions, my brother. I know my place.
We're multitasking, but we're really appreciative of having a chance to chat with you. You keep it real, and we will do the same in this discussion.
All right, much appreciated. Okay, so aside from all the tangential issues that are going on in the world of politics, we do see a rather major signal that there was the need for a thrust of private as well as public unity within the FNM, mainly due to the fact that the former prime minister, Huberman, does not seem to be singing from the same hymn sheet as the rest of the party and kind of speaks out on issues. And usually he's asked. So, you know, one could look at it and say he's just responding to what he's been asked. But he's speaking out on issues before we even see the party's particular position, which I don't think is helpful at all to the party. You've said as much. In recent days, we saw a meeting of FNM heavy hitters at the home of former FNM leader Tommy Turnquest. I know you probably can't get into the specifics of what was said during that meeting, but I guess confirm for us the need for that meeting and how the FNM moves forward from this point. Do we expect to see a little bit more of the fissure between Minnis and the rest of the parliamentary caucus, or do we put that behind us?
Well, prior to the leadership race of November of 2021, I had an opportunity to attend a leadership council meeting. All political organizations have former leaders, persons in, who held pivotal positions in the organization, who meet, who provide advice to those leaders who are minded to take them. And so I've continued to attend those meetings and in some cases request an audience with the leadership council to run ideas by them as it relates to how do we continue to build on the foundation that they establish. Because it's certainly a shared proposition that we have. We have leaders who have literally been involved in the organization from really the last 40 years or so, who are still quite active. And so recently we had one of those meetings, of course, to talk about any number of issues that affect us, including ensuring that not merely in terms of optics, but in terms of how we behave, that we are working in the best interests of retooling the Free National Movement, ensuring that we strengthen the brand so that this public who we love to serve would see us as a viable option to become the next government. And most importantly, we believe it is important for the FNM to send a clear message to the public that we heard you, we felt you on September 16th. We are, in all that we do privately and publicly, seeking to be responsive to the messages that you sent us in ways in which you believe we need to pivot, make adjustments as an organization. And that is the work that we are about, because we want to be extremely helpful to this population in reflecting their aspirations, in making sure we facilitate the dreams of Bahamians. And so if we're to do that, then we have to listen and we have to make it clear that we heard you, we felt you. And so that's all that exercise was about. A very fruitful meeting. We are optimistic about our team moving forward, all of us synchronizing our message, synchronizing the work that we're doing at the constituency level so that we could reconnect with those voters at the constituency level who may have become disaffected, who did become disaffected with us, many of whom stayed home. Internally within the organization, one, we are very excited. I think if you would follow what is happening in the Free National Movement, you would note the significant participation of FNM supporters at the various association meetings. And this is a result of a couple of things, two of which is, one, obviously, we're engaging in constituency elections. But secondly, there are persons who are quite anxious to participate in shaping the way forward. One of the things that the leadership team, the parliamentary caucus, the deputy leader, the chairman and the chairman's core, et cetera, and the secretary general, one of the things we have been saying clearly to members of the party is that the type of organization we structure has to be one that's inclusive and collaborative. Inclusive meaning it doesn't really matter who you've historically supported. We welcome you and we welcome your ideas. You are going to help to shape our messaging going forward on legislation and policies and programs. Mm-hmm. And then we have to demonstrate that. The way you demonstrate that is you have to make sure every organ of your organization meet, the youth arm of the party, the veterans in the party, the women's association, et cetera. And you must then take on board their ideas to shape what you do going forward. So this is not an exercise in optics, how things look. This is about re-engineering how we do business internally, because it will reflect on choices we make down the road in our candidates, whether we be adequately reflecting young people, adequately reflecting women who make up somewhat 51% of the population or thereabout. So again, we see tremendous energy in the organization, not just because they are constituency elections, but because people are excited to be a part of shaping what happens. And so we spend a fair amount of time in meetings doing life together, that is attending functions together, whether it's church, whether it's social events, just so that we could build meaningful relationships with each other. We also are building a collaborative organization. So that's precisely why you see us doing lots of visits to different types of organizations in the business community, civic organizations. Today, immediately after your show, we'll be meeting with one of the regional organizations. So we've been having a number of meetings with regional organizations as well as bilateral discussions with other governments, so that again we can introduce ourselves to them, and to basically be candid about what our vision is for the future, and also to reinforce the fact that we believe that governments are continuous, and so we're not in the business of massive disruption of some things that the government are doing that really makes sense, and we want to reinforce in the minds of our partners, particularly in the region. That we're in the business of continuity. So in a nutshell, we are optimistic based on the energy we see in the organization. All of our committees pretty much oversubscribed. People are turning out in substantial numbers. Last night we had a wonderful Mother's Day concert in Grand Bahama. Every event that we put on, you look at the images, people are coming out in substantial numbers.
Okay, definitely I get that, and I don't want to belabor what is happening in the Free National Movement, but it's just inescapable that people are going to kind of look at what's going on and compare it to when Minnis actually took over leadership of the Free National Movement. So when he took over leadership of the Free National Movement, he had the support of the senior leadership of the party after a really rough defeat for the most part. And then he frayed with Ingram and those who you would refer to as Ingramites. And someone expects that as new leadership takes over the party, you're going to have to iron out some wrinkles as Ingram had to when he took over leadership of the FNM. Minnis went almost an entire 4 years fighting members of his own party for control of that party. Do we expect to see that sort of thing going on in opposition for the FNM again? Or are you pretty confident that you can now move forward with a unified front? Also, how does one control the behavior of a former prime minister who's still in parliament, who did in fact win an election?
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a design to control behavior of any former members of parliament, ministers, or prime ministers. Again, persons are free to speak. I support fully the leadership team that's in place, fully supports any former policymaker defending their personal reputation. Mm-hmm. And many FNM's reputation are being savaged by this administration.
But it's going beyond that, isn't it? It's to where the former prime minister is kind of blurting out policy positions before running by you.
What I'm laying out is what is permissible, and that is protecting one's personal reputation, okay, defending any policy positions that you took, as well as sharing what your rationale is, what your thinking was around various programs, and that's fine. And then if in this case, a former prime minister is also a member of parliament of Killarney and has an obligation to talk on behalf of the residents of Killarney. But every one of us who have been elected, we have a franchise from the party. So in Marco City, while I have an obligation to speak on behalf of the constituents of Marco City, I seek to do it within the context of what our overall position is. And so any conversation you hear in the public, it's really about the new leadership insisting upon just message discipline. We want, in fact, I have a fundamentally different approach then I think many Bahamians like the idea of having a single dominant voice emerging from various political organizations. I believe that that's been a fundamental error in our politics. I think that it's important for us to project a team because we have a lot of talented persons on a part of these political organizations, and we ought to share multiple voices laying out legislative suggestions as well as policy suggestions in the areas that they have under their portfolio. However, it should be done within the context of an agreed upon position. I mean, it's obviously not going to be every single point you agree on, because sometimes you're speaking and you have ideas about what that future should look like. And having spent time with your colleagues, having talked with them back and forth about any number of things, you have a sense of, listen, this is what's permissible for our team going forward, because obviously it's early, it's 8 months later, and we are crystallizing what our position is on different policy. So we're just insisting on discipline. We'll make no exception in that case. You know, whether you're a newcomer to the party or you're a veteran having held significant positions, we want to make sure that we're all on the same page. We were just rejected by the public, so we have a good sense of what sorts of messages will not resonate with the public. And so having been a cabinet minister and grateful to Dr. Minnis for that opportunity, we do have some notions about a different direction we ought to go in on some issues. And so it would be ill-advised to then double down on some things that we did in the past when we have a different notion of how we ought to do some things going forward. And so that's no disrespect to what was the shared position 8 months ago. It's just that we have a different set of ideas on where we should go in the future. And so that's the exercise that we're going through now. And every now and again, you're going to have one or two bumps in the road, but we are united in wanting to serve the Bahamian public with excellence. And and in order to do that, the team has to be united in what we do and how we message it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll monitor it going forward. Well, let's switch gears. Let's talk about the budget. You put out a budget critique the day that the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance made his first, what we would call his first budget communication that he himself crafted. All right. And your critique was it didn't go enough to deal with the cost of living, and it didn't go enough to deal with what's going to happen with certain government institutions, such as NIB and also BPL, which are all very valid and very good questions. But I noticed that you didn't have a lot to target in terms of what we're going to do about our debt. And the issue that I see before us that didn't really get addressed in the budget communication for me is that we're going on $11 billion of government debt. We're still looking at a GDP that, while recovering well, is not at the level we were in 2019. And many people would argue that wasn't ideal to begin with. And I don't see a lot of how we're managing our debt strategy. Now, I will say this. I think that it was wise of the government to seek to source more local borrowing, because their ability to control the parameters around that, their ability to not have to meet the demands of principal repayments all at one shot, is better sourced on the local market. But I didn't hear anything from the Prime Minister aside from, you know, a tightrope maneuvering and a bit of, you know, best case scenarioing things that really addresses where we are with our debt.
Yeah, so that was one of the points we raised in our response. We made the point that there were several things that the Prime Minister needed to speak to, particularly since the Prime Minister forecast what his fiscal strategy was going to be before this budget was introduced. And hopefully we could come back to that, Vaughan, because there is a disconnect between what is printed, the fiscal strategy report, and what the Prime Minister said in his budget communication. And it's okay. Prime ministers reserve the right to pivot if they so desire, but they should do so within the context of the law. And the law requires, if you're going to move away from a legal document you were mandated to table in Parliament debate, because which is the fiscal strategy report. If you're going to move away from that now with your budget only, coming only a few months later, you're duty bound to explain to the public, which includes local credit agencies that you'll be going to for resources, stakeholders who hang on your every word in making business decisions and other decisions, international community, which include creditors, rating agencies. What they're expecting to see is some consistency between your fiscal strategy report and what you say in your budget. And I think you already have early indications that because, in part, because of this disconnect, it's very difficult then to take the government seriously about its intentions, right? And so on the debt issue, again, we thought it was important for the government to signal what is its strategy in terms of addressing the debt, since a whole lot of monies or revenues that are being generated, which the government is bragging about, we're ahead in terms of collecting VAT, et cetera. The question is, how much of what we are collecting or project to earn are we going to be spent, is going to be spent servicing the debt? Again, the goal is to reduce the amount of these interest payments. And there, you know, other countries have various strategies on how to do that. We just wanted to see what exactly is our government's strategy in terms of managing this debt, right, to free up cash to do some other important things. Now, I've seen the Prime Minister has indicated he's put together a debt management committee that's going to pretty much look at what has been done over the last 3 years or so.
Did that happen? Maybe you know about it, because I don't know about it. Everyone I ask who's on it says they haven't even met.
No, I didn't. I wasn't aware. Certainly, I don't know anybody that's sitting on that committee. But again, we would not be opposed to that. We think it's important. There's a lot of smart people in this country, and many of whom much smarter than policymakers. So it'll be good to hear exactly what their thoughts are on this subject, so that we are able to save funds, and especially in light of the fact that the government, expenditure has not gone down in any appreciable way. And some of the things that the government talked about in terms of revenue enhancement, we don't see the evidence yet in terms of them pulling the trigger on the revenue enhancement measures that they said that they have in mind. So if expenditure is going up and you are not collecting funds from those areas where there is leakage, that is where people have not been paying their bills, the question is, how will you have the ability to execute all of the things that you are projecting, the things that cause your colleagues to give you a standing ovation in the House? Help us understand how you are going to sustain recurrent expenditure and the projected capital developments that you have in mind, in light of the fact that you know costs are going up, and it isn't as if you're earning a whole lot of new money.
What I found, one of the things that was interesting too in the budget, there were some tax things that I don't really get that the Prime Minister said that just kind of seemed fanciful to me. The thing about keeping 10% of Family Island revenue for a development fund. Firstly, I'm interested in exactly where he thinks his revenue is coming from, because he says property tax and road traffic fees. I'm pretty sure that all of Mi-Cal and Exuma and Long Island, as well as Eleuthera, do not generate $200 million in property tax and road traffic fees a year. I'm trying to figure out how he gets it. $200 million is 10% of revenue collected in the Family Island. In fact, I'm pretty sure that revenue collected in the Family Islands is at an overall deficit, a bottom line deficit from what we spend. So to suggest that you're going to take 10% of revenue from Family Islands to develop anything doesn't seem real to me.
Right. But well, we raised the question. One of the points I'd ask is, have we been able to clearly document what the revenue is from the various Family Islands to give the public a sense on whether or not this is a move in the right direction. Now, let me admit right up front, this is not a novel idea that is being introduced by the Progressive Liberal Party. We've had similar discussions when we were in power in over the last 4.5 years. So this, again, and this is in response to a cry by Family Islands, inclusive of Grand Bahama, for the islands to benefit from revenue that it is generating. And this has also come about because of some shortages in the Family Islands. So you would hear it on a regular basis, the shortage of teachers, inadequate medical personnel, et cetera. And so obviously successive governments are trying to find ways of reassuring Family Island residents that we have your back. We are interested in moving away from a New Providence-centric approach. But we should do it on the basis of empirical data.
Right.
What are we collecting on the various islands so we could know whether or not you're selling a pipe dream or there's some real tangible benefits? And then you have to integrate this discussion with the law. In other words, the law presently requires that all funds collected go into the consolidated fund. Mm. Have you begun looking at what rules such a fund would have and what amendments you need to make in order to facilitate this sort of special purpose vehicle? And then what role will local government play in this regard? So again, what I find this prime minister, who's very, I think, quite pragmatic, if he's going to err, it seems like he's going to err on the side of politics rather than governance. So I think his focus is largely politics. So this was a budget filled with political candy. And I'm not certain that when one drills down on the detail, that you're going to find enough meat and substance there to give us a sustainable pathway towards growing the economy and delivering on what is being promised on the long term. And the Family Island Fund is but one of those things. It sounds very good, very creative, et cetera, but we don't know the details.
It doesn't sound real to me, because first of all, Bahamians don't pay property tax in the Family Islands.
Not yet, but Mr. Davis has about 4 more years. That
may change, eh? Right. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. It doesn't seem real to me. When the FNM talked about it, it was thrust that there was about $2 billion worth of infrastructure needed for the Family Islands, and a lot of meeting that threshold would have come from public-private partnerships, would have came from some borrowing, would have came from some investor buy-in. This seems a bit fanciful for me, and I'm surprised that the FNM didn't drill down more clearly on that.
Right. Yeah, we raised it in the response to the budget, and we've said several times in the House of Assembly, the Prime Minister's stock answer, his chorus to answer questions about where will you find the money to execute the things you have in mind, is that we will find creative, innovative means of dealing with this. That is his stock answer. Let me give you a concrete example. That was his answer when the question was raised on how are you going to ensure that that NIB does not become insolvent. And when one of his ministers, who I see is a very hardworking minister, forecasted that we have to do something and fairly quickly in order to address this, the prime minister's fear on the political side of any fallout was, no, nothing's going to happen there in terms of any things. Right. We're going to find a creative way to deal with this. BPL is another example. The government failed to execute the hedge trade, which would have locked in a set price of fuel that the government was buying, and we would have avoided some of the volatility in the international market, but we refused to execute the trade in September and December of last year. Some estimates have it that we have cost the Bahamian people some $50 million by failing to do so. So then the next thing is, how are you going to avoid one increase in electricity, which I suspect will come to pass under the Davis administration, despite this claim of a 20% reduction on electricity? How are you going to take care of recurring expenditure, and how are you going to beef up your infrastructure, since the government is cash strapped, BPL is cash strapped, and you don't have a plan on how you're going to generate resources? Obviously, the rate reduction bond was something left in place by the previous administration. And really, the truth is, we should have executed it and failed to do so. The Davis administration now seems to have taken it completely off the table. So how are they going to deal with their legacy debt and recurring expenditure and future capital works? Well, we're going to find creative ways in order to do this. And then the final example I'd give is in the fiscal strategy report, the government says it's going to hit $1.3 billion in terms of revenue. Well, again, expenditure is going up. You are also not in any dramatic way collecting a whole lot of this leakage. That is, so your revenue enhancement efforts are not are paying off in some dramatic way that could give the public or rating agencies or credit agencies the confidence that you are going to hit these, I mean, overly ambitious revenue targets. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, the answer is, we say, show us the details, because your fiscal strategy report, you're saying you don't agree with some of the things in your report. You were going to cut several ministries' budget, then you deny that that's going to be the case. So the Prime Minister, Ms. Alkeidis, and the Financial Secretary are on different pages with respect to what is written in the fiscal strategy report, which is a legal document. So again, the stock answer is we will find creative ways. And the few creative things that have been mentioned, which is a continuation of the work that we were doing, is one, in the environmental space, trying to monetize good stewardship of the environment. That can pay some dividends, but that's not a short-term proposition. That's not in the next 12 months you're going to yield tremendous amount of money. And then you have the digital assets that have been discussed by, we introduced the DARES Act in order to work in this particular space that we believe with the arrival of FTX will pay big dividends for the Bahamas. But again, you're not talking about within the next 5, 6, 12 months, this exponential growth in the sector. We have to retrain our population from the primary school up. We have to create adequate housing so that if there's an influx of experts to augment the labor force in the technology and digital asset space. So again, that's down the road to mm-hmm. some extent. So yeah. How are they going to hit their targets? We don't see the pathway.
Yeah, I also see some stuff in here that's going to create, that could create more problems than it solves. So for instance, the $40,000 VAT rebate for construction of your first home that you would have spent on construction services. You've dealt, I'm sure, with the Treasury in terms of getting any rebate regarding property tax. You've dealt with Inland Revenue in terms of any VAT rebates. That, to me, is really not a viable proposition. I think the better way to approach it would have been to just reduce the taxes on construction materials across the board, not just the roofing materials and the other materials, across the board, and you could zero rate construction services, VAT construction services.
Well, again, the government just said, I believe it was last week or certainly week before, there is a major concern in terms of some businesses remitting to the government the funds, the VAT that has been collected. I mean, so the government itself is having tremendous difficulty in getting funds to move from the private sector into its coffers, much less money's moving from government back to members of the public who would be entitled under any new arrangement they may have. Again, I always believe that it's better to undersell in some cases and over deliver than to sell dreams that really you do not see a clear pathway, because nothing is really worse than creating unrealistic expectations that people hold on to. So as I listened to the budget, I thought this was, again, a more political budget than one grounded in what our reality is. A government in its budget should paint the clear picture of its vision for the future and how it is utilizing its resources to help a people realize that particular vision. So the question one has to ask is, what is the Prime Minister's vision for, what is this new Bahamas going to look like under his leadership? And I'm not confident that he has fleshed that out sufficiently. I think it is easy to get bogged down in the sort of the mundane process of managing each ministry from day to day, as opposed to stepping back and trying to figure out what is it we're going to become known for regionally, globally, et cetera. And here's how we're going to face the tough issues we face right now in order to get there. So the tough issue we face right now is, one of them is, how are we going to make structural adjustments in our economy? Because right now, this is a two-pony show, or really a one and a half. You have tourism and financial services. Financial services is under very serious attack from the so-called developed countries, particularly the Europeans, to a lesser extent, those forces in the U.S. that have a problem with offshore jurisdictions. And so the question is, we already see how vulnerable we are to these external shocks, whether it's a terrorist attack of I think it's 2008 or 2011, or whether it's what has happened recently with the pandemic. You know, we have these very vulnerable economies. What other things can we put in place? And so, yes, using the environment as a means to generating revenue, beefing up food security in a dramatic way. What I heard was a step in the right direction in terms of the allocations to agriculture, but don't sell that as anything transformational when the allocations are negligible in comparison to what is required for you to develop the subsectors of agriculture. Instead, you're reducing duties on some items where the very competitors who we hope in agriculture to compete with, we are actually facilitating their products landing here with very little impediments. Now, one can argue, as this government is arguing, but we're trying to deal with the issue of making sure we reduce the cost of food. Well, you have to balance that with developing your own domestic sector, because at the end of the day, we have to grow the economy. Right. And if you're going to grow the economy, some of the things that, let's pick the salad crops, let's pick the microgreens, let's pick the things that in 15 to 30 days you can grow. 15 to 30 days. And if you go all the way to 60 days, 2 months, which will pass very quickly, you have a host of items that you can grow. So we must not only recognize we're in a crisis, we must behave as if we're in a crisis. And so while it's good to hear a prime minister talk about food security to a large extent, what you want to see is his words supported by financial resources and sending the right signal to the private sector to encourage investors in that space.
Let me ask you about, because that was one of the things that I hear two sides of it coming from the FNM, because on the one hand, the FNM gets up and cries bloody murder that the zero rating on the breadbasket items has been eliminated. Then in the same, well, you know, when talking about reducing duty on dozens of food items, they say that it doesn't go far enough. So, you know, which is it? Is it the breadbasket is killing everybody and it shouldn't have any taxes on it? And then when the government goes ahead and reduces the duty on some items that are on the breadbasket, as well as a host of other items, it could be detrimental to local producers. How do you square those two things?
For me, it's fairly easy to square. Is the government saying that on those items that it is reducing duty, the business community is obligated to pass on the savings to the public? Because again, if these are not price control items, the government has no way of controlling whether or not the savings accrued by the importers is going to be passed on to the consumers, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're serious about the bread basket items, and you want on items that can be price controlled, why not expand the mix of that? And if you're concerned of saying some of the items are unhealthy, because a study has been conducted, both administrations have the results of the study, go ahead and augment the existing list of items in the bread basket. So all I'm saying is there is no guarantee over the passing on of the prices. But let's go a little further. What gives you the sustained benefit to your economy more? The temporary or even permanent elimination of duty on some of these items. Remember now, in some cases, you're only eliminating 5% on these. A few of them may be 20%, but you know, some of these are relatively small. Mm-hmm. What gives you the sustained impact? Act, the elimination of the excise tax, which I'm not taking issue for, save for the areas where we have clear potential to import substitution to produce those items that we are facilitating coming in wholesale. Mm-hmm. So the poultry industry, we have completed the studies on the poultry industry, both on the egg side and the meat side. And we know in less than 3 years, we can be self-sufficient in eggs and fairly close to being self-sufficient once again in meat. What are we doing to ensure that we can now move from producing less than 1% of the eggs and meat that we consume to saturating the market and begin contemplating export? What is that amount of money that you're going to earn? And ask yourself the value that amount of money you're going to earn from a Bahamian ran operated and produced poultry sector versus the elimination of duty on items that big companies, whether it's in Brazil, whether it's in the U.S., can now dump chicken parts in the Bahamas and decimate the very producers, local producers, who you're giving $500,000 to, which, by the way, was overdue. We should have done it when we were in. It was applied for. We agreed that it ought to be done. So the big bird should have been taken care of. The land should have been allocated to them. There's no reason major producers like Big Bird and Abaco Neem should not get the additional 25, 30, 40 acres, et cetera, right, required for them to expand their operation. So it is, there's no contradiction here. There is a paradox, but it's one we can unravel.
Okay, well, fair enough. The point to me, the whole breadbasket was price control rather than trying to avoid extra taxes on it. But, that's something we could address another time. But I'll say this, my takeaway from reaction to the budget, particularly in the business community, is even though everything's not the dream of people throughout different economic sectors, I find that there's a marked difference in the fact that a lot of people believe they've been engaged and they've been part of the process. But here's what I mean. In previous budgets, particularly over the, let's just forget 2020 and 2021. In previous budgets by the business administration, you would hear, we would call business professionals, and they would tell us that firstly, the first time they've heard about any tax increase or decrease or exemption or anything being raised or lowered was during the budget communication, all right? And then they would say, and still we haven't been engaged. But what we're hearing now is they called us in, they sat down with us. You're hearing this from a lot of people in the agricultural sector, people in the business community, people in the petroleum sector. They're saying that the government at least is talking to us and we feel engaged. And I think how you make people feel, even though we're dealing with dollars and cents, is still an important part of it.
Oh no, without question. I mean, I think all governments have been cautious about signaling what taxation or fees, which the Progressive Liberal Party prefers to use that term, which is really code for additional taxation. The reality is, few governments are prepared to discuss those items in advance. And quite frankly, I guess we're talking to slightly different groups, because what I am hearing from some groups is basically some of the fees being contemplated are unlikely to be helpful to them. In terms of the agriculture sector, when we were in the chair, we had ongoing consultation. So there's no deeper consultation with the agriculture community. What I did hear is the announcement of a few things that were discussed, but the actual allocation of the funds were not done. And that would be, for example, I mentioned Abaco. In the case of Big Bird, it just took entirely too long to get the funds to them that's required. And hopefully this administration will do it differently. So I thought where you were headed with that point was to say this, that the budget touched on issues in a number of arenas, as opposed to necessarily engaging folks. So for example, the budget touched on the need for us to increase the salaries for nurses and for educators. Well, clearly, based on the response, let's start with the educators, The devil is in the details. And so what they have heard so far is not an attractive proposition to them. Now, that didn't stop colleagues on the PLP side from giving a standing ovation to the prime minister. But that certainly did not elicit a standing ovation from educators. The amount being contemplated for retention, if the figures are as some are purporting it to be, if it's 3,000, 1,500 now, 1,500 later, if you leave before whatever the period of time is, I think it's some 5 years, you have to pay it back. Well, obviously that's not an attractive proposition. So when you have a populist budget where you're giving candy to different areas, when you string them together, that sounds like a powerful narrative. But when you go sector by sector to ask nurses, based on what you've heard thus far, is the amount of funds that is proposed to be added to your salary, is that what you have in mind? Now, obviously, let me be fair. You cannot compete with Canada and the United States by and large in terms of retaining nurses. Mm-hmm. You could, however, improve the remuneration of nurses and do one other big thing, change the physical environment within which they work so that they believe and know that you are taking them, you really have them at heart. So it isn't just about the money, it's about better working conditions. Well, the problem is, even with what it sounds like a marginal increase, a small retention, which I'm not certain would impact, we have to hear the details further. We don't know what impact that's gonna have. We have a dilemma of having a dilapidated health infrastructure that discourages not just the patient, but the worker. And so the budget would have to also address how you're dealing with all of these things in tandem. Other than that, it sounds like, oh yes, you're working for the teachers, but BUT says, well, based on our discussion, I think you're a little short there. You got to work something out otherwise. And so that's what we need to see. We need to see what the details are. And that's what we're looking forward to hearing.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks so much. We got to go to a break. It's been great talking with you. We look forward to hearing you during the budget debate. Are you speaking Wednesday or you're not sure yet?
No, Kwesi Thompson is going to open up for us. But we're quite confident that all of us will be speaking each of the days. We anticipate many points of order given what has been the pattern of communication by the Progressive Liberal Party. We want this government to do well because we want our citizens to benefit. But we do have an obligation, again, to hold them to account. And the final thing I'd say is one, here's a government that continues to violate multiple financial services regulation that requires them to report on contracts that they are issuing. And since September to now, they have not revealed to this public the hundreds of contracts, the tens of millions of dollars to various service providers. And again, they acknowledge they're in violation of the law. It says it's a weak plan to amend it. So until that time, we don't plan to comply. But this is a pattern of behavior across multiple sectors, and we have deep concern of the implications of this kind of behavior.
All right. Excellent. Well, great talking to you. We look forward to your contribution during the budget debate. All right, you guys take care. We are going to go to the news break. We blew through all the breaks and didn't realize. But we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll talk some more national issues. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Celebrate every day like a birthday with Marco's Pizza Carryout Special. Spend less and get more with our large one-topping pizza for only $10.50. Yes, one topping of your choice served on our fresh dough, fresh cheese, and signature sauce. Every single day for only $10.50. Marco's Pizza, where every day something special happens. Every store, every day, the Italian way.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. We are talking about budget issues and other national issues. We had FNM leader Michael Pintard on before the break talking about the budget. He said he had a PAHO meeting to get to, or a courtesy call. Someone asked me if it's about the vaccine. I don't know, man. They didn't copy me on whatever they sent to the FNM. But we do have a few text messages that we want to get into, and then we're going to get into some other national issues. So let me see here. I'm just really getting some of these in. This afternoon, we've never had a government that has accomplished a significant portion of the proposed budget, despite borrowing incredible amounts of money, but some of the money disappears anyway, leading to the conclusion that Bahamians can't run a government or they're all corrupt. Okay. Last I checked, the government's up and running Right now. Yeah. There's a variety of services and things you can do right now that the government's offering. I don't know what you mean. This says agricultural loans are very difficult to get. Banks say it's too high a risk. Is a government guarantee for such loans included in the budget? You know, they did talk about what they're doing a bit about what they're doing with the Development Bank and with some other things in terms of spurring on agriculture. But for sure, I do understand that the private banks are very reluctant to lend for a lot of those reasons. They've really gotten into the consumer loan business. And if you meet the threshold, you know, the mortgage business. By the way, we have a story on, I'm sorry, I got a segue before I finish your text messages. We have a story on the Nassau Guardian's official Facebook page about a young lady named Shantae Taylor, who's 18 years old. And, we still have Michael Pintard on Zoom. Okay. All right, we can talk to him. I'll circle back to Shantae Taylor if you remind me, if I don't forget. But Michael Pintard is, he's still here with us. So we got, let's see if there's anything to address him. You and Michael, stop wasting y'all time. You guys were dealing with these problems for decades with no results. What? You guys? I'm sorry, was I dealing with it for decades? You guys were dealing with these issues for decades with no results. Pintard party just got kicked out. Now he has all the answers. Why didn't he fix the country when he was in power? Ain't nothing will change in this country with this horrible leadership in both parties. You know what? We're going to talk about that one day. How you guys talk about the horrible leadership and nothing's going to change in the country. I want to talk about that one day here very soon. Juan Davis was in power for 9 months. Stopped judging things until they had 4 years like the FNM. I'm getting tired of your station judging before they have governed. I see. So in your version of reality, when Minnis made his first budget presentation, 2 months, less than 2 months. In fact, hell no. That's probably a month. When Minnis made his first budget presentation within weeks of coming to power, in your imagination, Brave Davis, Chester Cooper, Fred Mitchell didn't critique the very first things the Minnis administration had to say? In your head, where you live, in the space in which you live, absent all empirical data and experience to the contrary, in your head, the PLP did not critique the Minnis administration over and repeatedly in the first few months of their tenure? You see, you got to... step into reality with me, okay? I can't live in make-believe land where you live, where political parties and analysts sit aside and go, well, let's give them 4 years and see what happens. I can't do that with you. This is, ask Mr. Pintard if he saw the look Perry Christie gave Hubert Minnis at Dame Marguerite Pilling's party. Yeah, I saw that. I'd have looked at him like that, too. What you giving him? Could you feed him? What are you feeding him cake for? Celinda wouldn't like that. I saw Brave Davis was feeding the lady from Carnival cake. People were apoplectic. This is a Christian nation or what? Brave Davis feeding the white woman cake. Oh, Lord. Look, there it is. Okay. This says, I agree. One, I've gotten emails from various committee members about what suggestions we've had about changes in taxes to help our business. I tried to engage the FNM several times and was always ignored as a business owner. Yeah, I've heard a lot of that. Says Juan, I'm enjoying the show with the leader of the FNM. If he keeps this up, the country will have a new generation leader since the Pindling era. All right. Says Pintard is clearly in love with his own voice. It's lulling me to sleep. It says it's admirable that our PM is asking the U.S. to look into those who perhaps purchase guns to export to our country. Good luck. They do not even wish to limit purchases to save the lives of innocent children in their own country. So, as I said, good luck. It's just dust in the wind. Yeah, I'm with you. The embassy people are coming on Thursday. We'll talk about different issues. It says, yes, the United States needs to do more to protect from trafficking of firearms and humans. We sit at the back door of the United States with international privileges, and we cannot afford to lose such special conditions. Seek the needed help, Bahamas, from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Okay? Excellent show, Brother Juan, and greetings to opposition leader MP Pintard. The Davis administration have proven that they're very focused and are handling the affairs of governance. They met with the business community and prepared an excellent budget 2022 to 2023. If accomplished, many Bahamians will be happy. For the mayor of Grand Bahama, Mr. Rudolph C. Stubbs. All right, great. Do we still have Michael Pintard on the line, or is he gone? Okay. I guess he's going to meet with Pajo. He said he's not. He said the meeting's not about the vaccine. he had a list of questions here. Says, our list of statement one, government should create more entrepreneurs. Small business creation is pivotal, absolutely. What is the government blueprint and where's the budget and the allocation to accomplish this? All right. Yeah, they said they're doing some things with the SBDC. I've voiced my concerns about a bit of the SBD things, particularly the 30% in delinquency or lateness for loan repayments, particularly when we were shelling out money during the pandemic. How are we helping Bahamians benefit from the boutique hotel opportunities in the Airbnb arena? That's a good, very good question, actually. It says the government must eliminate mixed messages sent by the PM, Minister Alkides, and the financial secretary. I wish he was here so we could ask him what mixed messages he's referring to. Yeah. In any event, those were some issues raised by the leader of the opposition. Just briefly, and then we're going to circle back because there's a couple things I want to talk about. There's a young lady named Shantae Taylor who just got, says, the government, does the government create entrepreneurs? That and that's the thing. And we'll talk about that too. Let me just say what I have to say about Shantae Taylor. So the Pinecrest subdivision just opened. I think the first three homes homeowners got keys to. One of the recipients of keys to the home, they're three-bedroom, two-bath homes, is an 18-year-old lady named Shantae Taylor. Now, they say she's an entrepreneur. I did ask the reporters to go find out more about her, particularly what she does that would have qualified her for one of these homes. Clearly, somebody has co-signed with her and has assisted her with getting the home, which is fine. If we could all do that for our children, then great. But further to that, I want you to look at the comments under the Nassau Guardian story on Facebook. There's several hundred of them. Look at the comments under the story, and it will start to crystallize in your head why we are where we are as a country. Because here's what's true. A nation needs leadership that is focused on the upliftment of the people of that nation. And we haven't at all times had the best leadership. But who told so many Bahamians that your leaders are to drag your carcass across the finish line without you having to put in any skin in the game? Who told you that the government is supposed to give you a job and give you a home? Who told you that any of this is supposed to be so simple and so easy? There's limited real estate on New Providence. What is crown land, the government will try to apportion and give out as sensibly as they can. That is the goal. But the government can't get everybody a house. That an 18-year-old young lady got a house through whatever connection there is does not have any bearing on your life. and does not speak to a system so many people believe is designed to just keep them down. When things work this way throughout the majority of the planet, we have to stop this notion that it is on the leadership for the entire nation to progress. If we are serious about progress as a people and building and communicating and networking and pooling our resources to achieve certain things, then the government can't stop us. They can only catch up. But I see so many people, and it speaks to something deep, right, that I haven't gotten to the bottom of yet. And you're going to be mad at me, and you're going to be forever disappointed in me, because here's what's true. I'm not your boyfriend, okay? I'm not here to make you feel good. I got a woman, all right? I'm focused on that. I ain't your boyfriend. I'm not going to sit here and feed into your vitriol and ignorance that everything is designed against you. You think it's easy and simple at all points to go get a home in the United States of America, the largest economy on planet Earth? You think it's easy to do that in Singapore, that you guys say we should emulate, when Singapore has an educational standard way beyond our own? The government didn't drag all the people to school in Singapore and put a gun to their head and go learn. They said, this is what we want to prioritize, and if we work together, we'll get there. Something changed with me, right? Again, you're going to get your feelings hurt messing with me. I'm not your boyfriend. I'm here to tell you you're pretty and you smart and you as kind and you as important. I'm not going through all that with no grown folk. Something changed with me in the pandemic. If somebody had one rando lady on Facebook said, oh, it's become this and it's become that. Yeah, it's become one ain't letting it ride no more. Y'all talking foolishness about this 18-year-old girl. Y'all 50 years old. Y'all can't save no money. Ain't nobody keyed you on to what life is about at this point. You don't want to get educated. You don't want to advance yourself to a trade. You waiting for the government to come do it for you. I ain't waiting around for the government to come do nothing for me. I would like help. I would like assistance. But this mindset of dependency and I'm not motivated to move unless someone else pushes me to move, it's nonsense. Now y'all want me freak out about the pine forest in Carmichael, right? And I supposed to go with Lincoln and grab my gun and start shooting in the dark at some shrouded, alleged Haitian menace because y'all really care about what's going on in Carmichael. Now, I care about deforestation. And someone sent me a message, like, it's getting really bad, check it out. I will check it out. But again, if you build your hopes and dreams around me, your heart can break. I'm not your boyfriend. I'm not here to make you feel good. During the pandemic, I don't know if it's the pandemic. I don't know if the menace went insane and he dragged me along with him. I don't know if it's my mother dying or a confluence of events. I can't play this game with grown folk who know better, who don't want to do better, no more. There's problems with the government, but there's problems with a lot of y'all. A lot of y'all made bad choices. And until you acknowledge it and try to rectify, who you think gonna drag you across the finish line, brave? Anyway, that's my thing with the young lady in the home. We watching what everybody else do, but don't want to take care of our own business. Most of this is on us, not the government. And I'll tell you something else. I used to be like you too, a while back, right? Ain't nothing happened in this country. And then I woke up. This was a recent development. It was years and years ago. I woke up. We have political patronage in this country. We have a system that's not always fair. We have a lot of people who have gotten by because of their political connections with government. But at the same time, the lifestyle my grandparents live, the opportunities that were there for them compared to the opportunities that are here for us now and our children? It's not even close. And that didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by everyone just fumbling along and things just went as they went. It happened through intention and planning. Did it all work out? No. We don't have a university that we go to for free by accident. We don't have a national insurance board that takes care of thousands of old people who never contributed at all that pays for their medicine by accident because the PLP or the F&M never did anything. Make it make sense. We have 72 government schools by accident because the PLP and the F&M never did anything. We got one of the nicest airports in the Caribbean by accident. Help me. We have two of the biggest resorts on one island in the Caribbean because no government ever did anything. Come on, man. Like, when is it time for you to start accomplishing something as well, along with the government? So anyway, be mad, go on Facebook, complain about it. I so don't care. I ain't trying to make you feel good about yourself. I ain't trying to make you feel good about your lack of accomplishment or achievement in life. Everybody hustle ain't the same. Shantae Taylor's 18-year-old, and she may not have been able to afford that home by herself, but her mentality is different. Her hustle is different. Until you start getting on your hustle and when the government throw a roadblock in front of you, you able to negotiate with the government how to maneuver that, fine. But if you still waiting around there for government to give out jobs and all this other stuff like that and loans, you ain't gonna get nowhere like that. You think I'm waiting around for a next man to feed me to make something happen for my family? I don't know where y'all coming from. Real talk, I don't. And again, y'all gonna be mad about me. Be mad. This show ain't gonna last forever. But I'm going to be consistent with it. I'm not just going to sit here and go at the government. Well, what are we doing? You don't know 20 people. Y'all can't put $5,000 together and make an investment happen. Then you spending too much time on Facebook. You spending time on Facebook worrying about what the government ain't doing when you should be making moves in your own life. You ain't figured out the process for a mortgage yet. You tell me you're going to apply to the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation and 18 years later, you're going to be complaining about, oh, I ain't get my mortgage yet. For real? We got a call show. Let's do a call. And I don't care no more. Again, this show ain't going to last forever. I do not care. You could say whatever you want about me. There was a guy that put my picture on a dog. What's the guy's name? Gorman Bannister. Put my picture on a dog. Talked about how he could hear, like, I'm a sissy and want to have sex with men. Gorman, grown man, by the way, there's a segment of older Bahamian men who have closet homosexual issues, in my opinion, judging by the intensity they invest into the speculation of the sex lives of other Bahamian men. Let's go to a call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, one idea, my brother.
I'm great, man. What's up?
Man, he got me on my buddy. Wait, my buddy, I was talking this kind of talk for 40 plus years. So see, everything you saying, I know fellas have money. No money. And I told him, I kid you not. I said, gentlemen, my buddy come up with $5,000. We could buy all these houses in the city. And I just want four of them castle, the entire camp road. And let's build them down and build them three bear, two bad, and let's sell them to the bank. They ain't want nobody pay us. Let's sell them. Let's turn over and let's turn over. I want to do right. I know some people, they're smarter one. They swear to God, they never wake and never will. Keep depending on government, national insurance, social services. That's why they want to. Too much things in this country free. And one, the only people who really complain in this country is our people. You know. The Haitians ain't complaining. The Jamaicans, the Filipinos, the Nigerians, they waking and shopping. And you guys be watching them on. My eyes more like, see, one, keep preaching. See, one, what is going to happen in this country? We in the real world now. Ain't no more free beers. Nothing in life is free. Nothing in life is free. And I listened to you ask Michael some good questions. Where are these money's coming from? You and I know the civil service is top heavy. 30,000 of them need to go home. Young people pay bills. Now some of the people double, triple, different. I know a lot of these officers need the force, and they said when people reservists. The reservists are supposed to be for ordinary citizens to know. There's some real police officers on the force to know. They ain't giving the boys a chance to make nothing. Behemoth, or make a talk to your friends. You're self-employed, go to NIB and start making the contribution, please, man. And thank you, my God.
All right, my brother. Take your time. Yeah, it's all good. I know y'all gonna be mad at me. I don't care. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm married to some of y'all. Like, not even in theory. I'll kill myself if I had to come home with my wife. Why we don't have that? Why we don't have that? Why? Well, look at what we got. Did just poof appeared? Seriously? All the things in this country that I'm going to be real with you, and I'm not going to be, you know, saying it's perfect here. All the things in this country that we have that they don't have. Y'all need to go look around the rest of the Caribbean. I might as well brief you. It ain't like this everywhere. We could acknowledge that we could be further along. We could acknowledge that we didn't maximize the money that we've borrowed. We could talk about all that because that's a perfectly sound critical assessment. But if we start living in dreamland, where ain't nothing, what y'all be saying? The Bahamas ain't for Bahamian. Well, who the hell it for? I'm a Bahamian. My parents left me nothing. I was blessed that they were able to help me get an education. And they taught me how to make my way in the world, which is what your parents are supposed to do for you, not the government, your family. I'm a Bahamian and I got a home in this country. I own land in this country, not because I'm light-skinned and attractive, even though I am that, and well-spoken and very clean-cut and well-dressed. I'm all those things, but that's not why. Because my father taught me, ain't nobody going to give you nothing. And whatever you have, if you don't fight for it, you're going to lose it. So miss me with that. You go in your Facebook group, complain. The Haitians are doing X, Y, Z, and they got a cartel going on. Knock yourself out. I'm not feeding into any of that until I have data about it. I will look into the deforestation thing. But if we don't shake ourselves out of this mindset, then we're going to have a serious, serious problem. I don't fool with y'all, you know. You know what I fool with? Like, Kobe tied to me calling his name. Anyway, Kobe down an almond tree, right? By the almond tree bar. Kobe, I don't mean to talk your business, my brother, but I got to say that. Kobe's wife worked in banquets at Atlantis for years and years and years and years and years. When the pandemic hit, she was making good money. Kobe has grown children that he's taking care of in the Bahamas and in the U.S. Okay? Kobe, you have the almond tree in Camp Road. Go check out Kobe. A great lunch, great cook. When the pandemic hit and the banquet thing shut down, Kobe's wife didn't go, oh, well, we at home, we just gonna stay up. She was out there hustling, dude, for everything she, every day, making a way. One of her friends from the banquet department got in trouble with the bank because she couldn't keep up with the payments. You know, she was doing great. This is the Bahamas that nobody's do nothing for y'all with, that a banquet worker at the hotel can get a mortgage and buy her own home. One of her friends had a problem with the bank. And they organized cookouts and luncheons to help her get by. You sit down and cry. You can sit down and cry and be there with you. Come on now. Like, y'all got to come. I don't do this with y'all. Right? I hear you. Yeah, the government should do more. The government, rah, rah, rah. Me? You can't be around me and complain about what this one do. The iron into all that. Where we going? How we moving? How we going to put forward? The government is a problem. The government in a way. Who we going to call? Who we going to agitate for? Who we going to get to? But if y'all teaching y'all children to sit down and wait on the government, I feel bad for them. They ain't gonna eat. And they sure ain't gonna be in no position to take care of you. And that's what it is. So get mad, get upset. Maybe I'll prompt you to some action. If not, I'll sleep better knowing that I kept it real with you. I got problems with a lot of stuff the government does. But a lot of the reason a lot of people aren't further along is because they waiting around for someone else to drop something in their lap and watching everything everyone else get. I'm watching what everyone else gets, you know. I see people with stuff that I want. I see people with boats. I see people with bigger homes. I see people with better jobs, nicer cars. I ain't sitting around worrying about them. I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna get what I want. Can I link with this person to help me get to where I need to be? If not, I don't have time to worry about them. Y'all got too much time on your hands. That's some of y'all problems. You gotta go to a break. We'll be right back.
show me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today when every dollar counts. Count on Advantage, celebrating 25 years of service.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Stand on Bahamas, it's your boy Sawyer Boy. COVID is clearly unpredictable. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I'm young and it still put a beating on me. I had no other option but to go to the hospital. I remember the doctor telling me if I had waited one more day, I wasn't gonna come inside your life. You don't wanna be in the same position that I was in. Vaccines may not stop you from getting COVID, but it can stop you from getting COVID the way I got COVID. You don't want that way.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. Yeah, we were talking. I was talking just now about we got to do better. That's my message. I had an epiphany. I can't be like, oh, yeah, the government. I can deal with the government for certain. But I got to live around all y'all. I can't live around all y'all like this. Let me see. This is, okay, let me see. This says, Juan, Shell gas, $7.39 a gallon, a new day. Where? It ain't say that in the paper this morning. Good morning, Juan. The DNA isn't aware that they're now the fourth alternative party. LOL. The COI has proven that in the general election and that they're the new third party. They show its relevance in terms of presenting national issues. LOL. Just saying. And you know, you ain't lying, man. The DNA got to do some serious soul searching. Beyond talk show appearances and all this, if you just want to be a voice out there, that's one thing. If you actually want to win some seats, if you actually want not have diminishing returns election after election, you're gonna have to go beyond just the talk show. You guys have likely structural organization problems that you're gonna have to spend a great deal of time on beyond what you put out there to the public. All right, the confidence, the support for the DNA has waned greatly. That's just an irrefutable fact. And you're going to have to figure out why that is. I think a lot of it has to do with Bramble McCartney not being there. But you got some really serious considerations to make. It says, Juan, have you ever played musical chairs? It's a game where you take a chair away each round until only one person is seated. That's how our economy works. Money's loaned out and some will be able to pay it back and others will not. Where do you think profits come from? I mean, and that's it. Money's loaned out and... So two things. I'm going to get to your text messages. And Pintard said this. And Pintard, I know I get what you're getting at, but you're going to be after. You're going to have to be careful how you package this message. So when we say the government should create more entrepreneurs, I'm trying to figure out how that works, because if I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur. Now, if you say the government should help people open more businesses, fine. But you're either an entrepreneur or you're not. All right? The lady, forgive me, I forget your name at this moment. You'll be angry at me. The lady out Montague, who goes to the produce exchange every morning in her husband's truck to pick up vegetables and sells... treats out by Montague Ramp, she's already an entrepreneur, has been an entrepreneur for a really long time. And you know what I find incredible? It's that there are people in this country who go to work every day, try to figure out how to make a way. They would like some government assistance, but never does it enter their mind that the government's supposed to take care of them. I've never thought that in my life. Like the government, it was never even presented as an option. In fact, my father drilled into me, owning your own stuff, creating your own business, you'll never limit the amount of money you make, which was a really good lesson. But because of rocky financial situations my father was in later in his life, I said, I'm going to make sure that I establish myself with a career very firmly before I start taking that level of risk. Because like they say, some people get loans, some people don't. It's a risk. Anyway, you're either an entrepreneur or you're not. If you're coming to me and I got to tell you, well, let's try to make you an entrepreneur, it ain't going to work. Now, if you're coming to me and go, look, I've been to BTVI, all right? I got my nail business going on, and I know they don't like to lend with nail businesses. I got my nail businesses going on. We do some other stuff, yada, yada, yada. I need a leg up. I need some rental space. I need something like that. That's fine. But if you're an entrepreneur, you can be an entrepreneur. All the straw vendors out there, what do you think they are? Now, if you're waiting for the government to present you a suite of options, in terms of which entrepreneur would you like to be? Again, you know, you can be waiting a long time. This says, Mr. PM should have also asked about help with human trafficking through illegal sloops that slip into our country constantly. What do you think is coming in on those sloops, fruits and vegetables? Think again, drugs and illegal guns, probably and likely. I agree with you, actually, quite much. How do you know what's coming into you? You could have a dirty bomb coming into your country. You don't know. Be like, oh, McCarthy, don't be extreme. You're demonizing it. I ain't demonizing no Haitian. I'm saying that there's an illegal network of Haitian migration. I don't know to what extent Bahamians are involved. And if you can't check what they're coming into the country and on, or them, then anything could be coming. Same thing with the container port. Remember, I was like, oh, we searched 2% of containers. Well, what? I didn't know all that. 2%? I don't know what coming. So some may be coming in on a sloop. Some may be coming in through perfectly legitimate means in containers. We've seen it before. It says, hi, Juan. LOL, entrepreneurship is probably not the best route for some of these folks. That's all. Look, some of y'all need a job, right? The government ain't got to give you the job. Some of y'all just need a job. Y'all ain't management material, everybody. You know what I mean? Or ownership material. Some people just need a job. Take your job, because at the end of the day, you telling me create more entrepreneurs, but out of $70 million, 30% of that, we don't look like we can recover because we've been giving that out to entrepreneurs. There's risk involved. And you risk losing all your money and my money too. I don't want y'all to lose my money. The government don't do nothing. The government build roads. I want the roads rather than just give you the money and you don't pay it back. It says, also just listening to some of the callers to talk shows and their comments allows me to see the kind of country we're living in. Good afternoon, McCartney. The lady did say her mother helped her in getting the house. Yeah. I mean, she didn't say her mother signed or anything. She just said her mother helped her develop the mindset for ownership. It says, but Juan, most of the comments coming into talk shows kind of accommodate and I dare say push dependency. We don't push personal responsibility. No, we don't. And when you push personal responsibility, they hit you with this one. Oh, you speaking from a place of privilege. Word. Am I speaking from a place of privilege? Help me to understand my privilege. The light skin thing again? Or what? It says the government is responsible for presenting the opportunity, but because we're corrupt in this country, we're not equitable as a country. Too much of who you know, or like the minister said in the police accident thing, you don't know who I am. It happens. Well, you know, the government should help create an environment that's pro-business, I believe pro-family, to the extent that it presents you opportunities. You know, we could talk about that. It says, you're right. Wake up, people. Did you ever find, great Dan McCartney, good show. Did you ever find anything about Clico? I haven't. It says, well, who made you mad? I mean, my own people. Right? Because here's the thing. Aside from my children's future, you got to give me something solid to go present if you want me to go fight. Because it got to be something worth fighting for. It can't be y'all sit down and get a check. Y'all dissing this girl, this young lady, about getting a mortgage? Oh, the bank on your house. Are you joking? The bank, what, for what other reason is the bank there besides to keep your money and charge you points on it? How do you think the world works? Everybody got something given to them and don't got to worry about no bank? I'm worried. I'm very worried. Not about y'all who 50 and 40. I can't help y'all. Your children. Because they're the next generation. And my deep, 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 deep fear is we're going to pass this low achievement, spirit of entitlement, and the government is my daddy, on to them. In serious economies, the government is often a hindrance to progress, all right? For companies that are wildly successful and individuals who are wildly successful, the government's usually the one slowing them down. We got a call? Sure, we'll take a call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCarthy.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. You know, I put it to you that the government will never be able to supply everybody in New Providence that need a home, that is qualified for a home, that, you know, and their lives are problem. I feel that what the government needs to do is look at the land situation in Nassau and do it to build some high-rise, I mean, or some multi-floor residents, you know, for dwellings for those who cannot afford, as well as those who can buy. Those who can buy, let them buy, and those who cannot, you know, afford them, you know, and all in the same complex and all in the same building. And that's just to leave enough land for those who want to farm in Nassau, because, you know, the people who need the labor force is in Nassau. So we have enough land to do all that we need. We just need to manage the land and thank you.
All right. Yeah, appreciate it. I agree. But also, I believe that unless you're going to go up on New Providence, it's going to run out of space before too long. And I think that we need to really start focusing on investment in our family islands. Now, boy, I don't know. We got some problems. I think we've drifted into way too deeply into a mindset of the government should be taking care of us at all times. Like, I want the government to, like, make sure oil companies don't, like, pollute our water. You know, I want the government, if it has a monopoly on providing power, to seek to have rates that are low so it doesn't cripple us with the cost of living. Like, I know if I look into the government to like take care of me and mine, like, that's my job. In any event, the government's not perfect, far from it, but we're gonna stop hating on people who try to progress by themselves. Maybe your hustle just ain't where it's at. Maybe you gotta look at what you're doing and make some changes. Maybe it's not everybody else. Maybe it's you. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Lord willing, you guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bones.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, CFAL, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the FinCastle Media Group, J.S. Johnson, Marcos Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, and Ron's Electric Motors.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.